It is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We rebroadcast it during the week, on the weekend as well. You can also always get it at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, and we say good morning to Arthur. Good morning, Arthur. How are you today?
I'm just fine. It's actually cool enough to cook.
First time at all.
I'm so happy to be eating my own food again.
That's right. Well,
real food. I was almost ready to write another cookbook called, you know, Not Cooking in Hot Weather. Basically, I did figure out how to do that.
Arthur, do it. The Climate Change Cookbook.
The Climate Change Cookbook.
There you go, Arthur Schwartz. You'll be the first one on the market with it.
On the planet, right? No, there are climates on the Earth that are way hotter than where we live. They all know how to do it, actually, including they know how to, I'm going to use my mother's word, perspire.
That's right.
I find that the S word is much more common these days. And that was one of my mother's constant corrections. So, I actually went to the farmer's market on Saturday, all ready to roll by the stove, but then I chickened out. And I did not buy the thing I really wanted, which was eggplant. I know that seems silly to be craving eggplant, but I am. And I always, my favorite way to eat eggplant, to be truthful, I'm always truthful, is baba ganoush.
Oh.
Because, for one thing, we don't have to deal with the salting or not salting issue, because to cook the eggplant for baba ganoush, which, by the way, is an eggplant spread with garlic, lemon juice, and tahini, sesame seed paste, and sometimes oil, but I don't put oil in mine. I'll get to that in a minute. You just roast a whole eggplant. But this is the moment for eggplant. From now until harvest in October, the eggplant should be superb, and the salt or no salt issue is, as I said, moot with making baba ganoush. But in this time of the year, I find it is totally unnecessary to salt eggplant. Let's start with number one. They have hybridized eggplant now. I don't mean just the skinny ones, but also those big fat ones. So that they are rarely bitter. They only get bitter with age. So if you buy a more or less recently picked eggplant, you don't have to worry about bitter. Number two, salting, so that was one reason you salted eggplant, was to supposedly drain it of its bitterness. And number two was to reduce the amount of oil that the eggplant absorbs when you're cooking it with oil, which is perhaps the most frequent way of cooking eggplant. Fry it one way or another. And that actually it does have some truth to it. Salting the eggplant and then drying it, sometimes rinsing it and drying it, will reduce the number of air pockets, which are many, many, in the flesh of eggplant, and it's those air pockets, as soon as the air gets hot, they explode, and they get oil gets absorbed. And this happens almost instantly. So salting and drying does, in fact, reduce slightly the amount of, and I say slightly, amount of oil that is absorbed by eggplant. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with if it's good oil and then it's absorbed by the eggplant, all the better for the eggplant, to be honest with you. But, you know, we're trying to watch our oil consumption, and there are better ways, I think, to consume oil than in fried eggplants or badly fried eggplants, really. But it does reduce the amount of oil absorbed. Now, the other possibility is that you don't fry the eggplant. And you just brush it with oil. Now, I do this all the time. and I have measured the amount of oil used to brush two sides of a slice of eggplant, as opposed to frying eggplant in nice, hot, and abundant oil. I will add that. Just skimming the bottom of the pan doesn't do it, by the way. So, it's almost the same. You don't save that much oil by brushing it with oil instead of frying it. On the other hand, I like the effect, and I like the taste, and I like the simplicity of just slicing the eggplant, brushing it with oil, putting it on a baking sheet in the oven, and letting it go. It's best if you turn the eggplant. And I would say that at 425-ish, 450, you need about 15 to 20 minutes per side of eggplant, meaning brush both sides of the eggplant with some of this half-inch thick slices of eggplant. Put them in on the baking sheet and flip them over after about 15 minutes, and they'll cook and brown more evenly. And I would like some brown on it. Yeah, alternately, you can put them under the broiler. Even my really bad broiler, if I put the baking sheet close enough to the on the top shelf, basically, under the broiler, I get a nice brown color on top, and it only takes a few minutes per side. And if you are like me, you're not ready to turn the stove on for a long time, that might be the answer. Now, that all that said, I'm going to make baba ganoush, in which case I take the whole eggplant. They usually weigh about a pound and a half, a nice size, what we call a Sicilian eggplant. It's the main eggplant of America is a big, bulbous, purple eggplant. There are other kinds. We'll get to that in a sec. And put that in the oven, just the way it is, on a baking sheet, or not on a baking sheet, for a good, at 450, for a good 20 minutes to a half an hour. Now, preferred method would be to make the eggplant smoky-flavored, by cooking it directly over heat. And I have in my kitchen perforated sheets of metal, which are used in Italy mainly for grilling vegetables, but also for making bruschetta, you know, toast. Also for, in fact, it's pictured on the package for cooking polenta, grilled polenta on top of the stove. Anyway, I bought these in Italy. I never see them here, but there must be some gizmo or other sold in American stores where you can perforate a piece of metal, basically, that you can put things to grill on top of the stove. Since I have no outdoor space, I can't grill it over my barbecue, over wood, which would be ideal. But instead, I put it on top of the stove, and I wait till the eggplant gets charred all around. Now, this requires attention and standing over the hot stove, because you have to. It takes a half an hour, and you got to turn the eggplant pretty steadily so that it doesn't burn, but it does get charred on the outside and eventually gets very soft. To me, one of the worst things, a really telling bit in a restaurant, is undercooked eggplant. I do not want to eat al dente or rubbery or chewy or leathery eggplant.
Absolutely. It's the worst thing in the world.
Isn't it? It's all, I don't understand. It's like,
and I don't know,
not that many years ago, chefs were making beans al dente. Beans are not supposed to be al dente.
I don't know why when you go to a restaurant and you order eggplant and you cannot eat it because it's that way. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Of course, if it's a... It's often cooked with other vegetables, so it really ruins the whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to baba ganoush. So once the eggplant has been cooked one way or the other whole in the oven or on top of the stove or on your barbecue, what I do is I just drape it, literally, on the side of a bowl that I'm going to eventually use to mix it, probably, and I make a slit in the eggplant, and I let the eggplant drain has a lot of moisture, and you don't need that in your baba ganoush. Once it's cool enough to handle, drain off any liquid that has drained off, and peel it. Try to get all the little char pieces off, if there are char pieces. And that's it. That's your basic, your eggplant. To that you will add, for a 1.5 to 2 pound eggplant, 2 to 3 tablespoons of tahini. That's sesame seed paste right out of the jar or the can. Remember that, like, you know, good peanut butter, which has no emulsifiers, the tahini will separate after it stands for a while. If you're not using it all the time, you're going to have separated oil and sesame paste. So you have to stir that together before you proceed. And if it's in a jar, I use a bar spoon to get right down to the bottom there and bring up the thick paste from the bottom and get it mixed in with the oil. But chopsticks work as well, I find. If it's in a can, it's a little easier. You can use a spoon because they're usually wide-mouthed cans. And you can store the tahini for months and months in its container. For some reason, sesame does not, I'll have to look this up, probably has full antioxidants is why. Sesame oil and sesame paste do not turn rancid as quickly as many other oils do. So about 3 tablespoons of tahini, the juice of a lemon, which used to be I was saying this to a friend the other day, used to be 2 tablespoons of lemon was a lemon. But these days, if you buy the inexpensive lemons, they're not going to give you 2 tablespoons of lemon.
No.
But about 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. And in deference to those who can't bear garlic too much, 1, or in my case, 2 cloves of garlic. I would smash it with some salt in my little mortar and pestle, but you can just have finely chopped garlic and mix that in, and there you go. There you got baba ganoush. Now, a lot of recipes will have you stirring in oil, but it's not necessary. The 3 tablespoons of tahini is plenty oil, and it's eggplant has, you know, I don't want to say practically no calories, but it's 20 calories in a cup of diced eggplant. But a cup of diced eggplant could absorb a lot of oil.
You know, and baba ganoush is...
So it's not 20 calories.
Baba ganoush is better. I like it better than hummus. I do.
I do, too.
Yeah. I do, 3.
I do, too.
It's much lighter.
And you know, if you're watching calories, it's very, very good because hummus, as healthy as it is, chickpeas, as healthy as they are, I mean, they're a very low... they're a high-carb food that's considered... very good for people watching their carbs because it's got so much protein and da-da-da-da-da.
It's very dense,
anyway,
though.
I like baba ganoush a lot. Yeah. But I make, a lot of different eggplant things. And one of the thing I was sort of craving, maybe because Norma, the opera, was on the radio on Saturday.
No, isn't it funny, though, how things make associate with food? There are operas or films or something that you just, aha, I have to.
Yeah,
have...
well, I would love to take a poll worldwide. Who knows Norma the opera more or Pasta alla Norma?
That can go in your climate cookbook. I'm joking.
If you have been to Sicily, you have eaten Pasta alla Norma. It is sort of unavoidable. I, many, like 35 years ago, at least, went on the first and last tour I would ever go on. I'm not going to tell the
before you started your own
tour, but I will tell you that almost every day they fed the group pasta alla Norma, no matter where we were in Sicily. We got pasta alla Norma because it's a very inexpensive dish. It can be made in large quantity, and it's a perfect for tour groups. It got so bad that with Mr. Bob here, decided we're not going to eat in the places where the group is eating necessarily. We were going to find our own places so we could eat something other than pasta alla Norma.
I
love pasta alla Norma, and it's named for the opera because Bellini, the composer, was born in Catania. And I don't know what this dish was. I never did the research to find out what the dish was called before it was pasta alla Norma. but I would. It's certainly not invented. It's definitely a dish from the people, because all it is spaghetti or whatever pasta you're going to use, with a slightly spicy tomato sauce, fried eggplant, and ricotta salata on top. And I have eaten this, I can't tell you how many times, and I don't think not even twice, was it the same exact way. So the eggplant can be cut into cubes and fried. In fancy restaurants, I've seen it in slices, made into like a little rosette on top of the already dressed with tomato sauce pasta, and the beautiful shards of... I don't know how they did this, they sort of made like curls of ricotta salata. Ricotta salata, I love, especially in the summer, as a cheese on pasta. I'm not sure what that's about, except that it has a fresher quality than, you know, Parmigiano or Pecorino. And it's a little bit salty, but fresh tasting. It's nothing but ricotta, which we know is not really a cheese, but it's made from whey, what's left over after the cheese is made, ricotta, recooked. And in the case of salata, it's compressed, it's salted and compressed. So it comes in a big, you know, round wheel, the way real cheese does. And it can be cut in wedges. And I have to add that my great nieces, who are 3.5 and almost 6, unbelievable, are this summer stuck on ricotta salata. They want everything with ricotta salata on it.
Well, plus it's fun to say.
Two shall pass. What?
I said, plus it's fun to say. I'm sorry.
Right. No, it's absolutely fun to say.
Absolutely. So,
for a little girl to say ricotta salata.
Are you kidding? Exactly.
I'm very impressed.
Right. So, hey, for one quick thing, and I don't know if this is apocryphal or not, but it comes from the Accademia Barilla.
Yes.
Pasta alla norma is a blah, blah, blah. The story says that in the 19th century, Nino Martoglio, a Sicilian writer, poet, and theater director, was so impressed when he first tasted this dish, he compared it to Norma. And the name has lasted ever since. Compared it to Bellini's masterpiece.
Yeah, but. It obviously existed.
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
As a grassroots recipe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just sort of plain on your face. Ricotta salata is a popular cheese in Sicily. Listen, eggplant in the Mediterranean is the meat of vegetarians. It has that, you know, can have that quality to it. So you add it to fried, of course. Add it to your pasta with tomato sauce. This Barilla, then, you know, you've added meat.
Right.
In Turkey, I laugh about this still. I guess this must have been on my first trip to Turkey, which was 40 years ago. I was sitting in a restaurant with a Turkish friend from Istanbul, and remarked about how eggplant was unavoidable in Turkey. And we had just been to a buffet at this restaurant, the mezze buffet, the antipasto buffet, the appetizer buffet, and it mainly was eggplant in I don't know how many different preparations. And my friend, who was a chain smoker, said, in all seriousness, don't you know that eggplant is the antidote to smoking? So since Turks smoke so much, we also eat a lot of eggplant. To stay healthy, even though we're smoking. So that is a Turkish idea.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know what the lung cancer rate is in Turkey, but I can tell you that at least, I haven't been to Turkey maybe in 10 years or so, that they were still smoking in restaurants, and you could die from secondary smoke in Turkey. It's every place was so smoky.
Okay, I have to go back to your Baba Ghanoush recipe for one second how do you feel about, after you've roasted your eggplant, sticking it in a paper bag to make it to peel, to help it to help peel it faster. You ever heard that one?
Probably works.
Okay.
I'm not in any hurry.
No, I totally understand.
Let me say, my eggplant is cooked so well, the skin just
falls off.
Comes off, and then I take a spoon.
Right, and then scrape.
And scrape the skin. Right. If there is some taut skin you can do that with, I guess you could put it, with peppers. I do that when I roast peppers, but I don't put them in a paper bag because in my house, I don't know, I have some paper bags, but I bring them back to the store for recycling. What I do is I put them in a pot on top of the stove, cover the pot. Same thing. You're steaming it. I guess you could do that with the eggplant, but I just like to let it drain. I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. One more. Here it comes. Maybe not. Sorry. My morning sneezes. Now my sinuses are clear. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you could put it in a bag if you have a paper bag around. I don't trust paper bags anymore.
Right, because we don't know really what they're made of.
A lot of them are made with recycled material that has been chemically treated.
Yeah.
And it's only meant to be used as a paper bag.
And this is absolutely right.
Drying thing.
And this comes from years ago.
Throwing things away.
This literally comes from decades ago. And it was somebody from the Midwest who always did that because she swore.
Well, you know,
her
grandma did it.
Right.
Her mother did it. And in those days, you could actually cook on paper bags.
My grandmother used to wrap fried foods in leftover newspapers, and it never made sense to me.
Well, fish and chips.
Well, but newspapers are relatively sterile.
Right. But you got to print.
Well, that's true. But wait, if it was a whole fish, you probably wasn't eating the skin.
No, but still, it always looked wrong to me.
I don't know.
There are things that...
I don't know. To me, a cast iron enamel pot or a stainless steel pot is perfect. By the way, we should only use non-reactive materials with eggplant.
Right, and tomatoes.
And I went for this myself many years ago. There's a recipe in Soup Suppers, I guess it is, for Romanian eggplant salad. And Romanian eggplant salad starts out like baba ganoush, a roasted eggplant. And in that case, you mash it up, instead of with tahini, garlic, and lemon juice, you mash it up with garlic and a little lemon juice to lighten it, but a lot of garlic. And then you can mix it, and oil, and you need oil. Anyway, in my recipe, I believe, in Soup Suppers, it warns you not to use any metal and to do this all with wood. And... of course, if you were an old Romanian, you would say that because your knives were probably carbon steel and you didn't have stainless steel bowls. I don't know, but it was a good idea to keep it all to wood. And so I do this to this day. When I make the Romanian-style eggplant salad, often called eggplant caviar, by the way, and that's when they didn't put lemon juice in it, and it started to turn dark, so then it looked like caviar, and it had all those lumpy seeds. You mash it all up with a wood. I use a wooden fork, and I beat in my oil with the wooden fork, and it is really delicious, and especially if it's garnished with raw onion. Some people don't like raw onion, so you can keep it on the side, and the other... Or mix it in if everybody likes raw onion. And, of course, a nice sweet onion would be good in this. And so would a diced green pepper. Or if you want to use red pepper, go ahead, use red pepper. But the taste to me should be green pepper,
right,
because the old Romanians in Brooklyn didn't have red pepper except out of a jar. Do you remember the days when we couldn't get fresh red peppers?
Yep.
Which, it's just green. By the way,
but I never liked. I'm
turn
not
red yeah. eventually, but they're picked green and it has a different flavor. I bought this at the farmer's market the other day. I bought. Let me say, my farmer's market. The prices have gone ridiculous, but I did find one farmer who had a reasonable price on peppers. But the pepper, one of my, I had to buy a basket. one of my peppers was just turning red. It was sort of green turning red. Well, one day on the kitchen, 8 hours on the kitchen counter, and it was redder. It was already, it was still ripening. And it was so sweet, even though it was a little bit green. By the, so picking eggplant, there used to be this old wives' tale that there was a male and female eggplants. As I just said, it's an old wives' tale. There's no truth about it. I even saw Lydia Bastianich on TV showing you a male and a female eggplant. It just doesn't exist. Ask a botanist. But you do want to have as fresh an eggplant as possible for maximum flavor and minimal bitterness. And that would be a one with very taut, shiny skin. And to me, the, even more than that, the telling thing is the calyx, the green part of, where the stem is. If that's still fuzzy and very green, it's freshly picked. If that has started to turn brown...
And get harder, yeah. Not harder, but crusty.
It's far from the farm.
Yeah, and speaking of far from the farm...
So that's important. And by the way, this goes for all colors of eggplant. As you can imagine, the original eggplant was white. The white ones you see in the market look more like what an original eggplant was, and they were smaller.
Right. And I just want to go back to the thing that you mentioned as far as prices are concerned in your last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I was offered yesterday at a checkout counter a tomato that really should have cost 75 cents, and it was $2, just size-wise, and it was $2.17.
Heirloom tomato, no doubt.
Yeah, but it was and freshly grown, and I just said, you know, I can't. I just can't.
I know. Even though we can afford it.
It's got nothing to do with being able to afford it.
I totally agree. So, yeah, I mean, I looked a lot in the farmer's market, and the prices were higher than in my fancy supermarket around the corner. And my fancy supermarket around the corner has local produce. I will say that the tomatoes I bought, very well priced, I found at the farmer's market, were better than the ones that I've been buying at the supermarket. But even they were 50 cents a pound more. I don't know what happened here, because the whole idea originally for farmers' markets in the city was to provide the farmers a direct outlet to their customers and higher quality and fair prices to the consumers, because there was no middleman.
Yeah.
Now there's a middleman, though, to get the stuff to market. There is a middleman at most of these farmers' markets.
Well, not here.
They drive their stuff, they have to bring or hire
a lot of people to work their stands, so they have an overhead. I'm not saying they don't have any overhead,
but they're not
little guy farmers here either. They're big farmers. Pardon me.
Yeah, no, but it's still not a middleman on top of the people who are acting.
Right. There's no trucker.
Right.
They all have their own trucks. I see them. They have their names on the trucks. And they make a business of going to the different
markets
in the city of New York.
Right. No, it's overhead. It's different. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying they don't have overhead.
Right.
But why is their overhead $1 a pound more than at a fancy supermarket?
Exactly.
By the way, I've been to Whole Foods recently, which is, we used to think of as whole salary. It was so expensive. And not anymore. Not since Amazon took over. And they also... At least the Whole Foods near me carries local produce at really, really good prices.
Yeah. We're being informed.
My time is up.
That's what we're being informed of.
And now I gotta go find an eggplant.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you. Love to
have a great week.
Thank you.
It's a cooking week.
It feels that way.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service.